Hello and welcome to another edition of Crossroads for Faith and Culture Meet. I'm Dean Welty with Rita Dunaway, and we have a very special treat for you today with a very special guest as we talk about the need for a new Christian awakening in America. Rita, I should just let you know, this is all going to be very special today, so I'll be using that word quite a bit. But before we begin, I would like to ask all of you in our listening audience, please get out a pen and paper and write this information down because it's for a very special invitation. We are having our annual Valley Family Forum God and Country Dinner on Friday, May 19, and we want all of you to come. We still have a few seats available, but they're going fast. So you need to get your reservations in to us right away, and you can do so by calling, and here's the number, please write it down, 540-438-8966. That's 438-8966, or send us an email to family@valleyfamilyforum.org. And here's why we want all of you to come. Our speaker will be Bishop E.W. Jackson, who is first of all a great personal friend, but also a favorite guest of our Crossroads program. He's been with us a number of times in the past. At the dinner, we'll also have great food, some Southern gospel and patriotic music, an impersonation of Red Skelton for the Pledge of Allegiance, and a special, special recognition of military, law enforcement, and first responder personnel, both active duty and retired. Again, the number 438-8966 or email to family@valleyfamilyforum.org. So, we have a very special treat for you today with a very special guest, Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's going to be stopping in with us by phone to say hello and maybe even give us a preview of what he plans to say at the dinner. But first, a little background about Bishop Jackson. He's already well known to many of you from the first time you heard him when he gave an electrifying God and Country speech at our dinner in 2011. Rita, it was beyond special. He has returned to the Valley many times since then, first as a candidate for the U.S. Senate in 2012, then again in 2013 as a candidate for Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, when he won 70% of the vote in Rockingham and Augusta counties. Now, he has a compelling life story. He was raised in a foster home, and he was failing in school. He was headed for trouble in the streets until his father came back and helped turn his life around. He became an honor student, went on to join the Marine Corps, and graduated from Harvard Law School. He then founded and is still pastoring a non-denominational church in Chesapeake. He also founded and is currently president of STAND, which means Staying True to America's National Destiny. We have more on that in just a minute. He's a frequent guest on national media, as well as on the Forum's weekly TV and radio programs. Through it all, he has become a powerful voice for our Judeo-Christian heritage, for constitutional principles, and for our God-ordained rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In recognition of all that, we were pleased to present him with the Daniel Award at our annual God and Country Dinner in 2014. Wow. Bishop Jackson, welcome back to Crossroads.
Bishop, thank you so much for being with us today, and we are really looking forward to having you back for our May 19th dinner. I wonder if you could give us a hint of what we can expect when you talk about the need for a new Christian awakening in America.
Well, first of all, thank you all so much for having me. Look, it ought to be clear to everybody, we just had an historic election. We've just come back from the brink, if you will. But it ought to be clear to everybody that our problems are deeper than one election, and they're deeper than one office or one office holder or one president. Our problems are spiritual. And, of course, you all have said it. I've heard you say it. Many others have said it. Politics is downstream from culture. Mm-hmm. We've got to see the culture transformed if we expect to see our country transform. I think this ought to help people understand that until we go to the root of our issues, we're going to continue to cycle back probably to the same problems that we've had over and over again.
And Bishop, I think I hear you saying it's not a matter of Republican, it's not a matter of Democrat, it is about returning to our Judeo-Christian heritage, our constitutional principles. And so that's really what we're aiming at, and we just hope to join you and others that you are calling for this new Christian awakening in America. And we're going to be getting to that throughout the program, talking about our role in this as well as the church's role. But let's get back, Bishop, if we could, to this organization that you have founded, that you're president of, called STAND, S period, T period, A period, N period, D period, which stands for Staying True to America's National Destiny. So what do you mean when you refer to America's national destiny?
Well, Dean, I really believe that America is a providential nation, that we are not an accident of human history, that God ordained this country for his purposes and has a plan for our country. I believe our country was intended to be a place to demonstrate to the world what it means when people gather together around principle, not around race or ethnicity or selfish, materialistic desires, but around principles that we believe transcend all of those things. And that God is at the center of that. The central principle of our country is that we are free and we have rights, not because a government has condescended to give them to us, but because God gave them to us before the foundation of the world. They are inherent in who we are as human beings. And STAND really argues the principle that until we get that straight, until we come back to that, the destiny that God had in mind for America will go unfulfilled. And I think we see right now it's perhaps over the last 8 or 10 years, it's been threatened like never before, with the rise of terrorism, with the rise of this secular atheist mindset that tries to convince the country that moral and cultural relativism are the way to go, rather than holding fast to tried and true and absolutely unshakable principles. So we've got a real battle on our hands to make sure that America does fulfill the destiny God had in mind when he put this idea in the hearts of our founding fathers. So our mission is to help bring people together across all racial and cultural and denominational lines for the purpose of defending and preserving our Judeo-Christian heritage and values.
Well, Bishop, you have expressed serious concerns in the past about some of the ways in which you believe America has drifted away from its special destiny. You just mentioned moral and cultural relativism. Are there other ways in which we've drifted? What are some of those concerns that you have?
This is what Christian awakening is all about. And people are going to be shocked to hear this because I don't think enough Americans and enough Christians understand this. Christianity is essential to who we are as a nation. It is essential. Now, we're not legally a Christian country, but culturally we clearly are. Yeah. We don't have a legal denomination to which all must adhere, but we are culturally a Christian nation. And right now, the reality is, according to every poll we can do, Christianity has been declining in America for the last 50 years. Yeah. 80% of the churches in America are either stagnant or declining. We are headed for becoming like Europe, which is a secular, sort of socialist country where God is irrelevant. About 10 or 11% on average of the people in Europe even go to church. And they think, and frankly, a lot of them think America's a little crazy because we have this odd thing called faith in God, and, you know, where God is central to our lives. So we have got to pull our country back from the brink, get the church involved and active again, taking its rightful place in trying to shape the public policy and the direction of our country, because that is absolutely essential to the health of our country and who we are and who God, I believe, designed us to be.
Well, Bishop, as you can imagine, we couldn't agree with you more. But in addition to your call for a new Christian awakening in America, you have said, and you've just suggested it again, that we need to take back ground from the secularists who have been trying, quote, to fundamentally transform America. You've heard that quote. And in fact, President Obama made that one of his top goals throughout the past 8 years while he was in office. So where are we today after the first 100 days of a new Trump administration? Are we getting any of that back, or are we still losing ground?
Well, right now, it's really kind of hard to say. I think it's a public policy matter. We've gained some ground. In some other ways, we're stagnant. I think there's an omnibus bill that right now is pending and a lot of consternation about that, because it appears, at least in We're hearing different and conflicting views about the reconciliation bill versus the omnibus bill, and one may seem like it makes Planned Parenthood funding secure, and the other takes it away. And so there's a lot of sorting out that needs to be done. So I'd say right now, after 100 days of the Trump administration, we are at least still back from the brink. But it's a little bit unclear right now just how dramatic the change of direction is going to be. So yeah, my attitude is I want to give the president the benefit of the doubt, watch things very closely, but also we as Christians, we as citizens, have got to hold these political people accountable. You cannot just sort of turn the reins of government over to them and walk away and say, well, glad we got that done. No, they've got to continually be reminded what the American people want if we expect them to actually adhere to it. Otherwise, they will become just political animals and sort of drift whichever way they see the wind blowing. So I say right now it's a mixed bag. One thing is clear, at least we now have a president who, instead of saying, God bless Planned Parenthood, says we've got to stop abortion. We've at least got a president who says we ought to admire same-sex relationships. We've got one now who says at least, well, look, the states need to be able to handle that and determine for themselves, you know, how they want their laws to be reflected so that the federal government doesn't come in through these tyrannical judges and overturn what the people have voted for overwhelmingly, which is to define marriage as a union between one man and one woman. So at least, rhetorically, we've got a president who is trying to lead us in a different direction. So here again, I think it's going to take us a while to see just how it all play out.
Just to follow up on that, Bishop, one of the things that many of us were concerned about was the Supreme Court. How do you feel about the new appointee?
Oh, I think the appointment of Neil Gorsuch is an absolute coup. I couldn't be more pleased with that. And if this president can get one or two more like him appointed, wow. I mean, we could be looking at a dramatic shift in culture because, as you know, the Supreme Court has been instrumental in the secularization and transformation of our culture by giving to the left what they could not get democratically. And that's because these people go to the same schools, they hear the same indoctrination and propaganda, they take those values onto the court, and then they basically force those values on the entire country. So if we can get some people who are textualists and originalists and people who have traditional worldview, as opposed to this sort of leftist new age contemporary morality worldview, I think we could go a long way towards solving some of our problems. So, yeah, I'm elated by the appointment of Neil Gorsuch.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Bishop, and I'm thinking we need to plan to have you back for another program to talk about that whole issue. But let's move on, because unfortunately our time is always too short when you're here. Let's get into some specifics. When you were here with us back in January, you listed six issues that are key to the need for a new Christian awakening. So let's get an update from you. And we'll go through the six, and if you could just give us a brief comment on each one as we go through them, whether you think we're headed in the right direction or not. And the first one is love of God and country. What do you mean by that, and how are we doing?
Well, I think we still got a long way to go on that. Here again, I think that having a president who would say God bless America and would have his wife pray the Lord's Prayer, even though she was roundly criticized for it in some circles, but have his wife pray the Lord's Prayer at the opening of rallies, who would acknowledge in a speech that all made by the same God. In other words, he is reintroducing an acknowledgement of God, here again, rhetorically at the very least. I'm hoping that he will restore the National Day of Prayer to the White House, so we will no longer have this thing of having Ramadan dinners in the White House, but somehow the National Day of Prayer is not acceptable. Yeah. I'm encouraged, but we've got a long way to go on that, because, you know, we've still got this mindset that is out there in many circles that patriotism is somehow a Republican value as opposed to an American value. I always explain to people, I love my country because I really believe that my country is a gift to me from Almighty God, and that therefore I have a responsibility to be a good steward over it and to try to make sure that my country reflects those things that are pleasing in His sight. So we've got to restore that kind of spirit to our country. We do have a long way to go, because the universities are opposed to it. Many public schools now are opposed to it. The entertainment culture is opposed to it. We know that Hillary Clinton, during her convention, didn't even have American flags on the stage until somebody raised the issue, and then they were brought up sort of to placate whatever these, you know, what they probably considered to be these crazy flag-loving patriots. Let's put something up there to shut them up. I mean, that's a sad commentary, so we got a long way to go on.
By the way, for our listeners who may just be tuning in, our guest today is Bishop E.W. Jackson, who's going to be our guest at our annual dinner on Friday, May 19. We'll talk about that later. But what you said just now about love of God and country reminds me of what Ronald Reagan said in 1984. If we are no longer one nation under God, then we are a nation gone under. And that's really where we are in what you're just describing.
Yeah, indeed, and Rita, our founding fathers believed that for a nation to be free, it must be virtuous. And to be virtuous, it must have reference to the scripture as its moral standard, so that you don't need an overweening government trying to control everything people do, because self-government begins with self. And so I want to do my neighbor right. I want to behave in an honest and upright fashion. I don't need the government dictating to me to do that. I want to help those who are in need. I don't need the government taking my money to force me to do what I, in my own conscience, will do. So they had a vision of our country that absolutely required faith in God. And George Washington and John Adams and Patrick Henry, they all said that again and again. So we got to come back to that if we want America to be the nation that we know it can be.
Well, it reminds me of another quotation that we've heard in the past, that if we will not be ruled by the Bible, we will be ruled by the bayonet. And so that's the situation we're in right now. But let's move on to the second one that you've listed among the issues of the need for a new Christian awakening is so important right now. It's the respect for religious liberty. We've talked a lot about that in some of our past programs. Where do we stand on that? Because a lot of people are still being prosecuted and persecuted for standing up for their religious beliefs.
Well, it's not good yet. It's not good. I think we'll have to see what Justice Gorsuch does. I think we'll have to see how the Attorney General behaves. I mean, one of the things I have said is that I would hope that this president would instruct the Attorney General to send out a general memo to corporate America saying, while you may choose to recognize same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships, that is your private right to do so, we will be watching. And if you fire Christians or demote Christians or fail to promote Christians because they have a different view of you based on what the scripture teaches, we will help them to come after you for violating their civil rights. I mean, this thing is all out of whack right now. As you all know, Christians all across the country have lost their jobs, they've lost their businesses, simply for expressing what the Bible teaches about marriage and about sexuality from a biblical point of view. So I'm waiting to see if there will be this effort to shift the emphasis back toward what the country was founded on, which was religious liberty.
Yeah, it's hard for me to even imagine how our founding fathers would respond if they knew the sort of things that are happening today that violate just the core of rights of conscience for Americans. It's just astounding. Well, Bishop, the third issue is free market economics, and this one stands out a little bit, I think, in this list. What does free market economics have to do with the Christian awakening?
Well, you know, believe it or not, I taught a sermon just this past Sunday, teaching a series on biblical worldview, and believe it or not, I told my people this is probably one of the most unusual sermons you will ever hear anywhere, but I taught them the biblical worldview of free market economics.
Okay.
And of course, you know, I'm sure some people say, I can't believe I came to church to get a lesson on economics.
I hope you have a recording of this somewhere.
I think that every American needs to be reminded free market principles and capitalism are not a perfect system, because we don't live in a perfect world and we're not perfect people. But we're not comparing it to heaven. We're comparing it to every other system available. And I believe that it is essential to freedom, because free market economics, as you all know, is based upon the freedom of each individual to choose where to work, what to spend, how to spend, when to spend, when to borrow, you know, all of these decisions freely made become what Adam Smith called the invisible hand that is guiding us in a way that no central planning can ever do. And of course, as you all know, wherever it's central planning, socialism, communism, fascism have been tried, they have been unmitigated disasters for people. And the only folks who ultimately emerge, at least from the short term, to benefit are the elite who run the system. And everybody else suffers with shortages and starvation, and of course, even persecution and torture and murder, trying to get them to go along with a system that the average human being can look at after it and say, you know, it's not working. So, yeah, we need to restore the importance of free market economics. Let me just say briefly, by the way, we have a program called Project Awakening, which is a comprehensive private sector program for the inner city. It's a three-pronged approach with the word CREATE as the acronym, CR for cultural renewal, EA for entrepreneurial awakening, and TE for technical education. And what we're going to do is try to restore the sense of entrepreneurship and how it works and why it works to young people. I've been saying all over the country when I have a chance to speak about this that the only entrepreneur in the city should not be the drug dealer. Yeah. In fact, we shouldn't have the drug dealer. We need to have other entrepreneurs who are rising. So I think it's essential to who we are in the country.
Well, Bishop, we've got three more. And so just briefly, let's go on to number four. Your fourth issue is a strong national defense. Any movement on that?
This is one of the things where so many people are confused. You all know that when the president started talking about restrictions on refugees coming into the country, there was a hue and cry. And one of the things people said was, that's unchristian. You can't not let people into the country. It's unchristian. And I wrote a piece that appeared in American Thinker, in which I made the point that you cannot use individual moral ethics and apply that to a whole nation, certainly not in all instances. And so the point I made is this. Well, the scripture tells me turn the other cheek. I don't believe that should be taken literally, by the way, but let's assume it is. You slap me, I can turn the other cheek. If you slap my wife, however, you're not going to find me telling her, oh, dear, turn the other cheek. What you're going to find is as a husband rising up in righteous indignation, and you might get hurt. The president of the United States has a responsibility to protect the American people. It is a Christian principle. If a person would not take care of his own, he is worse than an infidel has denied the faith. So we have a responsibility to defend ourselves. I mean, can you imagine watching Iran and North Korea develop nuclear weapons with the potential of destroying Israel and maybe hitting our own coast with a nuclear weapon and people saying, well, you know, we shouldn't really be involved or we shouldn't get too aggressive. George Washington said the best way to assure the peace is to be prepared for war. I don't want war. I served in the military. I have friends who got severely injured. I know it's a terrible thing, but we live in a terrible world, and sometimes we must be prepared to defend that which God has given us. And it just comes down to that. So yeah, we've got to restore national defense, and I hope this president will do that.
Yeah. Well, number five, I think, is related to that, and that is secure borders. Will you comment on that for us? How are we doing?
Well, here again, as you all know, I'm sure that this, neither the omnibus bill nor the reconciliation bill have any money in them for a border wall. Now, they do have some increased funds for immigration border enforcement. Here again, I'm hoping that the president will keep his promise. I think a wall works. I just came from Israel, as a matter of fact. Got back from Israel a week ago today, and Israel has a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that wall reduced their terror attacks from 1,000 a year down to less than 100.
Wow.
So
mm-hmm.
Walls do work. It's not about being mean to Hispanics or hating Hispanics.
Nope.
I love all people, and that includes Hispanics. And by the way, just to clarify, you know, the president said during his remarks that got him in so much trouble that they're not sending us their best. Somebody ought to really listen to what he says, because when he says they're not sending us their best, it obviously implies that they have some very good people, but they're not the ones who are crossing the borders illegally.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying everybody who crosses the border illegally is a bad person, yeah. But we know MS-13 drug dealers and others have come across, and we've got to enforce our borders. It's part of what makes us a nation.
Yep.
Well, Bishop, the last one you mentioned is protection of unborn human life. Are we making any progress on that front?
I thought about that when I looked at those notes, and I thought, you know, that should have been up near the top. So these are not, obviously not in order of importance, but, because to me, you can define a nation by how it treats its most vulnerable, and the unborn, the preborn, are the most vulnerable among us. And for us to continue to slaughter these unborn babies by the millions, it's unconscionable. I do pray for the day when the American people's conscience will awaken fully to what we're doing, and people will repent in sackcloth and ashes and turn completely away from that and just say, it's just something we cannot do. We have to find other alternatives, but we cannot kill our own children and call ourselves a civilized nation. Here again, we got a pro-life president now. It is my hope that we'll ultimately persuade the American people that we all ought to be pro-life. That, in fact, I like to think of it this way. We ought to abolish abortion, not just regulate it, abolish it. Just like we abolish slavery as an inherent evil with no compromise, we ought to abolish abortion as an inherent evil with no compromise.
Absolutely agreed here. You know, we're always on the same page with you, Bishop, and we just have about a minute left now, but what can we do to help? That's a question we always like to ask. We don't want to be a chit-chat society. We want to give people practical ways that they can help. What can our listeners do? What do you recommend for them?
Well, look, right now, what we are trying to do is, for our organization, STAND, is we're trying to reach churches across the Commonwealth this year and get them activated and involved. We have a very important election this year, and of course, across the country. And people can go to our website at standamerica.us. In fact, I'm glad you asked the question, because we are just about to launch a new membership campaign. STAND has not been a membership organization per se, but we're about to launch a new membership campaign so that we can get more people involved, because I hear that question everywhere I go. But they can go, they can support us financially, they can pray for us, and they can obviously reach out to their pastor and try to connect their pastor and their church to us so that they can help be part of this awakening.
Yes, and that website again is www.standamerica.us.
standamerica.us, just like it sounds.
Well, Bishop, I wish we could have another hour with you, another half hour at least. But again, thank you so much for being with us. Again, for our listeners, this has been Bishop E.W. Jackson. He will be our dinner guest on Friday, May 19, and we'll have more details for you in just a minute. Again, Bishop, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Dean Arena. Looking forward to it. God bless.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, it's been great to have Bishop Jackson with us. And again, I just want to remind all of you about our dinner on Friday, May 19. He will be with us to keynote that dinner. It's our 16th annual God and Country Dinner on the JMU campus. It will indeed be a very special evening, and I hope very much that you can join us.
Yeah, you do not want to miss Bishop Jackson keynote address.
It is powerful. But remember, we only have a few seats left, so you need to get your reservations in right away, and you can do so. Again, the information, call us at 540-438-8966 or send us an email to family@valleyfamilyforum.org.
Well, this concludes our program on A New Christian Awakening in America with our guest and special friend, Bishop E.W. Jackson. If you'd like to listen to the program again or share it with your friends, visit valleyfamilyforum.org and click on the link to Crossroads. We want to thank our sponsors at Blue Ridge Chimney Services and the dental practice of Scott Dunaway. And we thank so many of you for your prayers, encouragement, and financial support. If you would like to help keep Crossroads on the air, you can do so by check to Crossroads at P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, Virginia 22803. All gifts are tax deductible. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rita Dunaway with Dean Welty and engineer Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week at the Crossroads, where faith and culture meet.